back to Hunter Logan Unmiked. This is episode 4, part 2, divorce. When I last left you, I was talking about how I had my eyes on man and how a divorce at 14 years old, which a perfect world I was living in, this was a shock to me and how it just really, really messed me up. And the thing that messed me up the most at this time was how, at the church we were going to, is how they made my mom sit on one side and the lady sit on the other side that was actually having the affair with my dad, as my dad at this time didn't go to church. Now, again, let me clarify with this. All of this is water under the bridge, and I am just doing this as reference. And I'm just telling a story. The fact of the matter is, my real dad, and I will refer to my birth dad as my real dad for this series, and my stepdad as my stepdad, because I call them both dads now, because I'm really blessed, because as we'll get to a later episode, I'll tell you why I call them both dad. And when we have family functions now, and it's been this way for years, we're all at the same family function. In other words, I have my dad, my real dad, and my stepdad, and my mom. And we're all at the same functions. There's nothing there. He gets invited to the family functions. And I am blessed to be able to have my parents, all three of them, at the same place. Now, that doesn't include that lady, believe me. Because my dad is divorced from her. She's then went on to other things and caused other problems still for other people. And we'll leave that at that. But anyway, let's get back to the part two of this. So at this point in time, I'm really upset. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at the world. I don't understand. Keep in mind, I don't have anyone to talk to. And when I say I don't have anyone to talk to, counseling is not that big of a thing. In other words, it's not readily known about or readily accepted as easy as it is today in this day and time. And I didn't have anyone. Any of my friends at the time that I had wasn't going through that. Their parents were together. So it's not like I had friends that I could go to and talk to and who were experiencing the same thing. And growing up, I, as an only child, I grew up around grown-ups. And that's the truth. When I would go to bed, my parents would have people over. Well, it was grown-up. So I would go to bed listening to grown-up talk. And so, therefore, I was a little bit more mature in that aspect than most kids my age. I would identify with older kids always because I was raised around grown-ups. Now, I didn't get treated like a grown-up. Understand that. I was still treated like a kid, but most of my teenage life, kid life, but I was around older people. So now at this point in time, my mom, it's just a crappy situation all the way around. And we leave. My mom decides she's not going to be in this anymore. We're gone. So we move out the house, or out the trailer we were living in, actually. And so here we are in this apartment. And that's a strange thing in itself. Now, we had at the time, my dad was a motorcycle rider and had motorcycles for years. So we had two. He had this Moto Guzzi, my real dad, 1000. And he had bought this Yamaha Midnight Special 1100. And so I learned, now keep in mind, I'm 15 years of age, right? With the driver's license. I think I'm just turning 16. I'm about 16 at this time now. And so here's this 16-year-old kid, and I'm probably barely 105 pounds soaking wet, maybe. Maybe 112, I don't know. I mean, I was a beanpole. Listen, I wasn't big like this. Growing up, I was always... When I got married, I was at a 28 waist. You understand? I was a skinny kid. So here I am. I got the motorcycle, and my mom had, it was a 1976 Chevy van, I think, we're driving at the time. Maybe she had. Or I can't remember exactly what the vehicle was. All I knew is I had the motorcycle. So, because at one time, we would go riding together. This is why all this stuff was going on, before we knew it. But when the divorce happened, somehow or another, I ended up with that big old motorcycle. So I can barely touch my feet to the ground on this thing. This is a 1100 Midnight Special Yamaha. And I'm this little kid. And I went straight from a Honda Mini Trail 50 centrifugal clutch mini bike to a Yamaha XS Midnight Special 1100. That's a big machine for a little kid. I'd ride that sucker, though. I was working with my uncle during the summer and also during school. Back in school, when I was a sophomore, because I was a sophomore at the time that the divorce happened, or a junior. Okay, it was my junior year. Let me see here. Sophomore. Yeah, okay. So it was my junior year. Well, if you had enough credits, you could go to school. Sorry, my junior year, yes. You could go to school. If you had enough credits, you could go to school a half a day and work the other half a day. So I would ride my motorbike to school, motorcycle, and then I would leave and I'd go to work with my uncle. And I would ride that big old motorcycle. And that was my mode of transportation. And it was something else, man. Now, if that bike fell, and I fell on it a couple of times, I couldn't pick it up by myself. The thing was so big that I'd fall with it, and I did fall a couple of times, I would have to get help to pick it up because I could not pick that big old bike up myself. And there was a couple of times that, you know, I didn't. Like, I remember one time I seen some friends. So I was going to hurry up and catch up to them, right? And the roads were slick. Well, you ever try to stop fast on a motorcycle while the roads are slick? You're going to slide, Jack. And I slid that bike right under the van that they were in, underneath the back tire. And they had to get out and help me pick up the bike. I couldn't do it. I couldn't pick it up by myself. This was while we were living at the apartment. So at this point in time, my mom was dealing with a lot of stuff. So she was kind of paying attention, but not really paying attention. So I was kind of doing some things. But let me tell you this. I was what you would call, if there's such a thing, I was one of those lily white kids. I didn't really do much, seriously, growing up until this point. Growing up, I really was a good kid. And when I say good, I wasn't a smart mouth to my parents. I didn't do that. I was very respectful to others. I was very trustworthy. If you told me to do something, I did it. I listened. I would listen, whatever you said to do, I listened. I obeyed my parents when they told me to do something. I was respectful of my elders. I always said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I didn't question authority at all. And whatever the rules were set, whatever it was, I followed them. I really did. And even when all of this stuff was going on, and even when I was doing stuff that I wasn't supposed to do, I was still trying to follow the rules and not get caught doing it, so my mom wouldn't have to worry about it. So if I was out doing something I wasn't supposed to, I was always kind of looking around, trying to be sneaky about it, so my mom wouldn't have to deal with it, because I knew she was dealing with her own problems with the divorce. Because let me tell you something. When you're a mama's boy, and that's what I was, and I still am, and I don't take offense to being called a mama's boy at all. But when you see your mom at that age hurt, and if she tries to keep that hid from you, but you see it, and you see your mom actually cry, that affects you in ways. Well, if you went through that, then you know what I'm talking about. Now, so even at this time, you know, I have a curfew still. And I don't break the curfew. I come back when it's time to be back. I'm not staying out past curfew. If I'm going to be late, I call my mother and I say, "Mom, I'm here. I'm going to be 5 minutes late. I'm going to be 10 minutes late." I would always tell her if I'm going to be late or whatever. So, yes, I was doing some things I shouldn't have done during that time, but I was still following the rules. But each time I was doing a little bit more and a little bit more. But I was still trying to be good at the same time, I guess you could say. But I'm juggling all this stuff, right? I'm juggling my emotions. I'm juggling school. I'm juggling working. I'm juggling all this stuff, trying to make sense of it. Well, one day, my mom comes in, and she says, "Why am I leaving? Why am I out here doing this?" No, he's going to get his butt out the house. We're going back home. I'm like, okay, whatever. So she gives him the notice, "You can get your butt out the house, and we're going back home." So we went back home, and he's out the door. So back home we go. And it was good to be back in my own room, I'll tell you that, because that's where I'd spent most of the time. And so it was good to be back at the house again. And that was nice. So things are continuing on. And, you know, it's just, we're going to the church. I don't like it because that lady there. But once it came out again, that they were seeing each other, my real dad and that lady, it went somewhere else, or they put a stop to it or something. They didn't let her go in or whatever. I can't remember exactly what thing was there. But we were still playing in this band. But the church had a split. And right about the time, the church split as well. But I didn't know, somehow or another, I didn't pay attention that my mom was going to this singles group in Lake Charles. It's called SALT. I don't know. I think it stood for Single Adult Life Today, maybe. I don't know if that's what it stood for. I can't remember. But it was, SALT was the name of the group. And that's where she met my stepdad, who I call dad now, but for these episodes, we'll call him stepdad. So this is 6 months in. She meets this guy. Just 6 months. Now, she had previously been married to my real dad for 17 years. God bless his heart, man. He tries. He tries his best to be my friend. He tries his best to get to know me. He tries his, but I'm bitter. He doesn't have a chance in the world. Not only am I bitter at the whole world, but I ain't even grown up yet. I mean, I'm still a spoiled kid who thinks the world owes him something. I ain't even figured out what's going on yet. I haven't even dealt with this whole divorce thing. I don't even know. I'm still in a bubble. And I ain't figured out nothing yet. I haven't even dealt with anything. I haven't even dealt with any of this. I'm just numb. I just haven't dealt with any of it. And, man, I'm mad at everybody and everything and don't know why and just nothing's right. And I can't stand my real dad. I'm really pissed off at him. And my poor mom, man, I can only imagine how she felt at the time. Now, I would realize this years later while I'm married in Germany, it finally started clicking as I'm married with kids. And then I start seeing things in a different light. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, but then, you know, at this time I'm about 16 years old still. And they're going to get married. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And then not only are they going to get married, but we're moving to Lacassine. It means we're uprooting everything I know here in Jennings, all my friends, and I'm going to a farm community where I know no one. And I got to go to this school where I know no one. And I'm like, no, this is not happening. So it happens, man. They get married. We move the trailer from Jennings to Lacassine. And here we go. Got to start a new school. And this is just, I'm not liking it. I'm like, man, this is odd now. Now, keep in mind, 16 years, right? I'm 16 years old. Up to this point, I have never tasted alcohol before. I have never smoked weed before. I'm telling you, I am a lily white kid, if there's ever such a thing. I am a lily, that's me. Even though I'm mad, I'm going through all of this and all this stuff, I'm still a goody two shoes, if you want. They've not touched any of this. Haven't drunk, haven't smoked a cigarette, haven't smoked weed, haven't done nothing. Haven't done nothing. I still don't have my eyes on the Lord, though. Even though I'm going to church, the band's broke up by now, okay? The Words of Faith Singers. And I think that's about the only thing at the time, church-wise, that was holding me together with church. Being able to play the music, that's about the only thing that kept me going to church at that time. And I'll be honest with you. Other than that, really had no interest, no desire to do any of that. So, now, living with a stepdad in a new town, in a new school, in a new environment, that's an episode all in itself. And that's going to be the next episode when we get to it. So the next episode, we're going to talk about that. Talk about the new school, the new town, and the new stepdad. Oh my goodness, man. But listen, all of this stuff has a great ending to it, and it's still good. And you'll see what a great testimony all this comes out to be in the very end when we get up to where we are now. Because like I said, I'm very blessed. Because my stepdad is my dad, as well as my real dad, who is my dad. And my mom, well, I love her because she's my mom. And I'm always a mama's boy, no matter what. So make sure and tune in next time. The podcast is always where podcasts are available. Make sure, check out HLE Radio as well. Live morning show, Monday through Fridays from 7 to 10. We have free apps for every device you can think of. Podcast is available everywhere. Podcasts are available. TuneIn, Switcher, Apple, the other one. I can't remember what it is. Hey, until next time, I'll see you.